I'm the first generation of my family not to work in the gold mines. Now, our families, the gold mines were in Utah and Nevada and Idaho. And in the 40s and 50s, we lived in a little small farming and mining town in southern Nevada. Now, back then, we didn't have any television. And there was no satellites, and there was no DVD, and no internet, or all of that kind of thing. We didn't even have a movie theater. So we had to create our own fun. Now, the kids would go out and play kick the can, and hide and seek, and then roast corn in a bonfire. Now, the adults, they had to make their own fun, too. And so they'd have sewing bees, and they'd get together and tell stories and play cards. Now, my father died when I was very young, and so my mother had to move from the little mining town down into Las Vegas, Nevada, so that she could raise her three children. I kept in touch with my family back in the little mining town because my uncles really became more like surrogate fathers to me. Now, do any of you have relatives that do really unique and different things? Some of them may even be a little weird. Anybody have relatives like that? Okay. Well, I have some of those. In fact, one of them was my Uncle Darryl. Now, Uncle Darryl was an interesting fellow because he created his own fun. In the summertime, he would go out through the sagebrush and have someone else drive his truck while he stood in the back of the truck and they chased wild horses through the sagebrush and he'd try to rope them while he was standing in the back of the truck. Now, in the wintertime, he couldn't do that, and so he would go chase and catch mountain lions or cougars. Now, when the family got together, we always had these great stories about Uncle Darryl and him chasing and catching mountain lions. Well, I had always wanted to go with him and do that, and about the time I was entering college, I called him up and said, "Hey, I want to go mountain lion hunting with you." And he, "When are you going to go? I'll come next time you go." And he says, "Well, that's hard to say, because in order to go mountain lion hunting, you have to have a fresh snowfall." Now, the reason for that is, after a fresh snowfall, he'd get in his four-wheel drive mud-brown Jeep Wagoneer and go out driving through old mountain roads, these old mining roads, looking for cougars that had crossed the tracks of the road in the fresh fallen snow. Now, whenever he came across a cougar track, he knew that there was one nearby within just a few hours of whenever the snow had fallen. So he'd stop the car, stop the Jeep, open the rear, let out his three blue tick hounds, and they'd begin to go chase the scent of the cougar. So I asked him when he was going to go next. He said, "I didn't know." And I said, "Well, I'm going to watch the weather, because the next time it snows, I want to come and go with you." He said, "That'll be fine." And so, sure enough, it wasn't very far before we had a new snowfall. I got up early in the morning, jumped in my car, and I drove the 3 or 4 hours to where he lived. Now, he's rather surprised to see me, because a lot of people said they wanted to go chasing mountain lions with him, but they never showed up, okay? Well, we put the dogs in the Jeep Wagoneer, and we headed about 30 miles out of town. We hadn't been more than a half hour or so, and lo and behold, across one of these old mountain roads, through the fresh layer of snow, there were some cougar tracks. He stopped the Jeep, opened up the back, let out the dogs, and they began to track the scent of the cougar. In fact, they were like wild rabbits in search of fresh clover. They just took off like there was no tomorrow. And we began to put on our snow boots and our jacket, and we could tell where the dogs were because they made a sound while they chased the cougars, and they'd howl. Now, some of you may be familiar that when a blue tick hound will howl, it goes something like this: "Boo, boo." So you could tell where they were running off through the countryside. And so we began to follow them, and after a few minutes we heard a distinct difference in the sound that the dogs were making. Instead of going boo, boo, it became more like this: boo, boo. I turned and looked at my uncle, and he said, "Oh, the dogs have the cougar up in a tree." Now, some of you may not know that cougars are very short-winded. That is, they're very fast. They can run for a short distance, but after a while, they lose their breath, and so they have to stop and catch their breath again. When they're being chased by hounds or something else that threatens them, they climb a tree. And so the dogs had a cougar up in the tree. Well, we followed the howling of the hounds and found where the cougar was. Sure enough, there's the three dogs. And the kinds of trees where we were mountain juniper or cedar trees. Now, they only grow 15 or 20 feet high. So there in the top of the cedar tree was a mountain lion. That means it was only 6 or 8 feet above me. Well, the dogs were jumping and howling and barking like they were having a hound dog bachelor party. I had my camera with me, and I was taking pictures like I was a foreign tourist. It was just clicking like crazy. My uncle said, "Now, you know, you've never really been cougar hunting until you climb up in the tree with the cougar and pull his tail." I looked at him and I said, "You're kidding, right?" He was dead serious. I said, "No way, no way. I've got this camera. I'm going to be happy with the pictures." He says, "Let me show you how it's done." He put his foot on a lower branch, he grabbed a limb, and he swung up into the tree, and he was right up there next to the cougar. Now, the cougar was not particularly happy about this whole situation. It was hissing and growling and pawing at the air. And its ears were laid back, and its tail was flitting back and forth. Well, my uncle timed the flitting of the tail until just the right moment, and he reached out and grabbed that cougar's tail and jerked on it. He jerked so hard, I thought he was going to pull the cougar right out of the tree. The cougar even had to grasp on it with its claws in order to keep from falling down. All the while, these three hounds were down there howling and howling. You'd thought it was the last full moon they'd ever see. Uncle Darrell climbed back down out of the tree, and he looked at me. And I looked back at him, and I just said, "No way." Well, about that time, we heard another dog barking over in the gully behind us. Now, a few days before, my uncle had been out hunting cougar with a friend of his from town, and one of their dogs had gone off to chase the cougar, and they could never get the dog back. And so my uncle said, "You stay here with the three dogs, keep the cougar in the tree. I'm going to go get my friend's dog." He turned and left. He didn't ask me if I agreed with that, but he just turned and left on his own. So there I am with three dogs and a very unhappy cougar up in the tree. Well, it was less than a minute before one of the dogs decided it was going to go with Uncle Darrell. So it took off. That left me with two dogs and a very unhappy cougar up in a tree. Well, a few seconds later, a second dog took off. That left me with one dog and a very unhappy cougar up in the tree. I was a college student. I could figure this out. It didn't take me no time at all to determine that the reason that cougar was up in the tree, or there were dogs down here howling, keeping him up in the tree. I immediately dropped down to my knees. I put my arm around that dog's neck, and I grabbed hold of his chain that was around his collar. No way was he going to abandon me in my hour of need. And then I had this brilliant thought. I wonder if a cougar can tell the difference between a dog barking and somebody acting like a dog barking. So I put my head down next to the dog's, and the dog would go, "Boo!" And I'd go, "Boo!" And the dog would go, "Boo!" And I'd go, "Boo!" And then we'd both growl, bark together, "Boo! Boo! Boo!" Now, I don't know exactly what the dog thought about all that, but the cougar stayed up in the tree. Now, this went on for some while, and I began to get a little bit hoarse. Between my howling breaths, I heard a noise up behind me. I turned around and looked, and there's my uncle sitting up on a rock. And he said, "What are you doing?" I rehearsed to him my theory about barking, keeping the tree up the dog. A dog, so you need to make sure that they understood it. He wouldn't come down and get me. And he said, "Well, don't you know that when a cougar catches its breath, it will jump out of the tree into the middle of a pack of dogs and takes off if it wants to. Now, he hadn't told me that part before. Well, my Uncle Daryl must have thought that was relatively humorous, because for the next several months and even years, as I went back to our small town, I had people ask me, "Have you been barking at cougars lately?" Some of you may have this experience to be out in the wild, and you may come upon a cougar, and so you'll need to know how to protect yourself and keep the cougar away. So we're going to have a little lesson right here now. We're going to go through what do you do when you run into a cougar out in the wild. So I want you to all join with me, and it goes something like this. Okay, everybody together? Here we go. You're all as crazy as I am. Well, now you're prepared and know what to do when you ever meet a mountain lion out in the wild.